The world has a lot to say. It can be hard to cut through the noise and find great audio when you want it. Clamor makes great audio accessible by organizing everything into 18-second highlights. Clamor gives you a personalized power feed of the best information and entertainment in audio. If you discover something that you love, tap to expand the Clamor into full-length music and podcasts. Best of all, you can share Clamors with friends. You can even make your own Clamors, record from scratch, import, or remix other people's Clamors. Clamor brings you the world's best audio, one bite at a time.
Welcome to chilllovelradio.net. Today's show is sponsored by PromoDJ.com, AudioBoom.com, Clamor.com, SBSDesigns.com, Athuka Digital Distribution, Media Services NYC, Open Bar Music, Republic Music NYC.com, VintageSoulSupply.com, DiamondFuse.com, and ManhattanScreenPrint.com. Enjoy the show.
Warning, the broadcast you're about to listen to
is a politically incorrect area. All PC personnel entering these premises will encounter gravely offensive behavior and opinions. Rampant insensitivity has been authorized.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. From around the world, guys, we would like to say thank you guys for tuning in to the Open Bottle Talk, sponsored by Open Bottle Society. Now, where are those guys located at?
They are in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nice, and don't they have a website?
www.obsbeers.com.
That's what I'm talking about. We also want to give a huge shout-out to chilllovelradio.net. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, .net. That's how gangster they are. They don't need the .com, no .org, .net. Yep. And then also want to thank Delirium, because they sponsored us today with these awesome glasses that we have on the show with the little purple elephants on it. We've been sponsored by Delirium. It's really cool. They provided the glassware on today's episode. Okay. You know what I've noticed? Word okay way too much.
It's kind of like a or a like.
It's better than a unless you're paying for the Hummer.
True. And it's better than like. Like. It's hard. It's hard to get away from.
It is. So what I want to say is every time you hear me say the word okay, you must drink. Not you.
Oh, I was going to say I could stamp on your foot.
No, don't step on my foot because I am barefooted. No, you guys out there, get yourself a cocktail. And every time you hear me say okay at the beginning to start a sentence, please drink up. So that way at the end of the show, they don't even know what the fuck is going on.
But it can't be a forced up.
Yeah, I'm not going to force it. No. It's going to be a natural.
Okay.
All right, guys. So again, we want to thank Open Bottle Society on obsbeers.com, chilloverradio.net, and we want to thank Delirium for the glassware. So, I'm really trying not to say the word. I actually am now really being careful. What? Let's not jump to the beers. I'm kind of jumping the gun here. I'm like way too excited today. How have you been? I haven't seen you in a week.
I've been great, but first off, I'm Frank, and you're...
Oh, I'm Key.
There you go.
Oh shit. Wait, I thought we said it.
We didn't.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This is the last time we ever freebase ever
Indeed.
Again.
Indeed. So... how's my week been? Week's been pretty good. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. So those of you who are listening, if you've got teachers in your life somehow, whether they're for your tiny little kids or even high school or college, appreciate the teachers because we're working hard.
They're putting up with your kid's shit.
Amen, brother.
I can say that he can't.
I'm saying it. I'm putting up with kid's shit.
So what are some of the things that, like, as an educator, what would be a great way to show my appreciation to you? What are you looking for? Are you looking for, like, a hand job, a card? Are you looking for some cereal?
You know what? I work in a pretty high Mexican immigrant area.
Okay.
I want food.
Oh, so you want some home-cooked?
I want home-cooked tamales and enchiladas and maybe even some mole. Oh, that would be the bomb.
You're such a fat ass right now. You have fat girl problems.
I don't care. Don't care.
So what have you been up to other than the Teacher Appreciation Week? You have fat girl problems. How's home and everything?
Home's good. You know, both my wife and I are busy. She's a teacher also. She's a music teacher, which is a little bit different than what I do. But she's enjoying it. And kids are getting psyched up for summer. It's almost here. Pool season is on us. We've got the pool right outside our door, so We're looking forward to summer. Can't wait.
Nice. It sounds real good. Real good. As for me, ain't shit going on. Just keep drinking beers on Periscope. Open Bottle Society's Periscope every damn night. Except for Wednesdays. We're dark on Wednesdays. That's not a skin color joke either. All right.
You need a night off.
I do need a night. Not necessarily, but I...
Yeah, you do. You gotta regroup.
No, that's silly. I catch up on that shit when I'm in bed. So let's get right into this, guys, because it's not about me. It's about the beers and Frank, because Frank's the highlight of the show.
Amen. It's true.
What are we doing today?
We are doing a pumpkin hard cider from Ace.
All right. Wait, that's right. Since the last show, how are you now thinking of the ciders now?
Well, I mean, that cider that we had, it was called Scandi.
Yeah.
Scandi cider.
It's a Perry, I believe.
That was phenomenal. It was a Perry, because I can remember that fresh pear taste.
Yeah, it was a beast.
And that was phenomenal. Has it changed my opinion of ciders? No. We say I have not developed my cider palate, as opposed to I don't like ciders. But
right.
For the moment, to the rank and file people who don't really understand what a palate is, I don't like ciders.
All right.
And that's all right. I'm getting there.
All right.
Yeah, so speaking of ciders, we're also going to be drinking Jack's Pressed-On Sight Hard Cider. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
And this one's a Perry.
Another Perry. And we are going to be drinking the original Olympia beer. It's in the water.
Very.
So, yeah.
Very classic. You know what? I haven't had one of these in a long time.
I've had quite a few. We are going to be drinking a Vanilla Porter by Breckenridge, which unfortunately has just partnered up with our friends Lewis.
Are you serious?
Serious.
We'll talk about it when it's their turn on the show. Damn.
But like, they have.
Are you serious?
And then we are going to be drinking Beer to Drink Music To, which is a Belgian-style triple from Dogfish.
This one just came out, actually.
Very excited for that.
So that's pretty cool. And last but not least,
we're going to be drinking an organic chocolate stout from Samuel Smith's.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, this one's going to be last.
Oh, that's why I have it last.
So, you've had this one before, right?
Actually, I have.
Oh, you're in for a treat. You are in for a treat.
I'm sure I am.
Are you ready to do this?
I am ready.
Pick your poison. Spin the bottle, Rickety Man.
Pumpkin cider, please.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. Buckle in for one hell of a shit show here on the Open Bottle Talk. That's us. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys are ready, because I want you to appreciate the fact of that Paul is not here. And you may not know who Paul is, but his name is Vegas Penguin. I want you guys, if you guys have Periscope, I want you guys to head over there, look up OBS Beers on Periscope. He goes by the name of Vegas Penguin. Okay, OBS Vegas Penguin. The only reason why I'm talking about it right now is because they need to see him on Periscope.
Okay.
He is one hell of a character. Because again, guys, we are sponsored by Open Bottle Society's obsbeers.com. Now, Mr. Frank.
Yes, sir.
I had to plug him in. He's a part of the family.
Yeah, that's good.
And it just sucks that he's not here with us right now.
I like Paul. He's our intern.
Yeah, that's right. So here we go. You ready for some uncomfortableness?
I am.
Let's do it.
So we will be drinking the Ace Pumpkin Hard Cider from the California Cider Company. It's out of Sebastopol, California. If you'd like some more information on our friends at Ace, it's www.acecider.com. It's a 12-ounce bottle, 5% alcohol.
You forgot the most important part.
Oh, it's gluten-free. Most ciders seem to be gluten-free. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I thought it was a given. But
Do you remember the thing we were talking about last time with the soda fads?
Yeah.
Gluten-free is a fad now, too, on a lot of beers now.
Right.
One of them that's going gluten-free is New Belgium has now got a series of gluten-free, and a few other people are jumping on that, you know. So here we go. A little for you, sir, because just in case, you know, your vagina acts up and that sand fucking grinds to a halt, I'd hate to laugh at your pain. All right, so we'll set that right there. All right, let's talk about it, buddy. What you got for me?
It's kind of borderline yellow-orange, which I kind of expected, I guess, if it's a pumpkin cider. The activity is pretty strong. I'm not seeing any legs really to it. When I kind of agitate the glass, it kind of falls down right away. You know, it looks like cider. It's a kind of a honey golden color to it. So,
you know, I won't agree to you. Did you notice something in our sponsored glassware where the bubbles are coming from?
Right in the middle.
Do you know what that actually is in the middle?
I don't.
It's an elephant. And what happens is a lot of these little brandy snifters from breweries now, they put a little etched insignia in there or their icon. And what happens is as the bubbles blow through the center, it's circulating your beer, keeping it refreshed all the time. So, again, thank you, Delirium, for the glassware. Yeah. All right, so here we go. We're going to smell this. Cheers to the schmell. Well, since you're a huge fan of ciders, what you got?
Definitely pumpkin-y. You know, not necessarily the pumpkin vegetable squash itself, but more of the pumpkin pie smell, the cinnamon, the nutmeg, the allspice, everything that you're going to kind of
smells like October.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely fallish. Definitely.
Yeah, it's
autumnal feeling.
A what?
Autumnal.
A what?
I'm not saying it again.
But what is that?
It's another word for fall. Autumn?
Yeah.
Autumnal.
Oh, what the hell? No, that's not a word. Well, okay, first off, you cannot use any more big words.
I can use big words.
My head hurts, and we're not even drinking anything malty. Okay, so I've got same thing you were saying. The only difference for me is I can actually smell pushing through is cider.
Okay.
I can smell apple-esque. Is that a word?
Sure, apple-esque? Sure, why not?
Okay, I just want to make sure.
You can use whatever words.
Grammar
you
Nazi.
Even though they're wrong.
Autumn-tum. Was that
autumnal, yeah.
It's fucking, was that the GoBots? Fucking, I'm going to tell Autonomum, and he's going to fight Optimus Prime. So, the smell is what it is, guys. He pretty much nailed it right on the head. It is dessert-y. Is that a word? Dessert-y?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
That a word? Sorry, I just like messing with people. No, it just smells like a dessert, but there's more spice on it.
Yep.
It has the clove. I'm getting more clove than the cinnamon, and it's making my mouth water because we're pulling in so much of that spice. It's kind of like almost like a sour hit, and then your mouth kind of releases its salivary glands. And I don't know about you, but I'm waiting to see your face. So let's get down to it, brother. Cheers to the taste. All right. Actually, you know what it kind of tastes like? What's that thing you do with it's not a hot toddy, but you take brandy or you take cider.
Yeah.
Not non-alcoholic cider. You put brandy in it. It comes out because you can taste a little bit of that alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And with the clove, I'm actually getting the grittiness of cinnamon, but I'm getting the clove back finish. It tastes just like that that warm cider that you would make over the holidays, where you add a little bit of the brandy to it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it tastes like pumpkin pie with the squash. It's got some sort of earth tones, and that could probably be with the spices. But my palate's a little different as far as a chef goes. I can kind of break down some of the food properties.
Right.
And it's like a crossbreed between the two. And it's still a cider because there are undertones of red apples and a touch of green apples. It's a pretty well-balanced cider for a flavor cider.
Yeah. I'm getting the pumpkin on the front. I think it stays true to what you said. It's there's a pumpkin pie-ish quality to it or taste, and then it kind of rolls into pumpkin without the spice.
Right.
And then it finishes apple strong.
Mm-hmm. More red apple. And then the spices, it smelt overpowering.
Yeah.
But everything, to me, is well meshed. You get a little bit here, a little bit there. Then when it's finished, it all kind of comes together.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a well-balanced fall cider. I mean, we're having it now, but to be honest, I could drink this all the time. And how do you feel about it as far as what's going on, as far as what it says on the label? And I know you kind of, we've had some issues with some of these guys' ciders.
Never having a pumpkin cider before, I don't really have a frame of reference. So I'm going to go with, it's about what I expected it to be. Hints of pumpkin at the beginning and then a pretty hard apple finish. I would say that so far that this is better than other Ace ciders that I've had, because I do kind of dig the pump. Just it's something nostalgic. It makes you feel warm, kind of reminds you of home, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it kind of gets in your head, which is what really this really should do. It should evoke some sort of
trigger an emotion. Yeah, yeah. It's got to hit an emotion. All right, so Mr. Frank, I'm dying to know. What's your grade and how do you feel about this particular item?
I'm going to give it a 3. I've been pretty harsh with Ace before. And maybe it was, maybe I was a little bit too harsh. Or maybe I wasn't. again, I'm still developing a taste for cider. So, am I crazy about cider yet? No, I'm not. But I'm willing to keep trying it until I do get an appreciation for it. And I think I'm starting to get an appreciation for it. So, I'm going to 3. I think it's that's much, much higher than I've rated pretty much anything.
Oh,
except
yeah.
the cider that we had last week, which is the absolute bomb. So, yeah, I think it's a solid 3. It's it evokes emotions. So, I think it's an interesting. Nice job, Ace.
Good job, Ace. All right, for me, it's complex. It is what it is. Got a great packaging on it. I like their theme, mm-hmm. you know. Let's see here. From the savory aspect of it to the spice to the sweet dessert profile that it presents to the color and overall experience with this. And on top of that, even Mr. Frank gave it an appreciation. I'm going to rate this a 3.5. It is above average, but I think everybody could enjoy this. I'm glad this is only around once a year. Now, unless it's a high demand for these and they're pushing a lot of them and selling them, then you might see it year round.
Yeah.
But I think they should stay in their lane and keep this one in fall. So that way, when it comes around, you really enjoy it. You're going to go and get it. All right, guys, we will be right back. We're going to reset. What's the next one?
We're going to continue on the cider kick and we're going to go for a Jack's Pressed On Sight Hard Cider.
Fantastic. All right, folks, we will be right back. Looky here, looky here. Fatty 2x4 cannot fit through the kitchen door. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was brought to you by Tide's new Ring Around the Booty Remover. You guys can check them out at Tide.org, which is absolutely not a real website.
Dude.
Thank you, Tide. What do we got next for these guys?
We've got Jack's Hard Cider, which is a Perry cider or a pear cider. It's a 12-ounce can. It's handcrafted, local Pennsylvania apples. It's pressed on site, never from concentrate. It's 5.5 ABV, and it is produced and canned by the Hanser Estate Winery out of something in Pennsylvania. I can't...
Where?
I can't see it.
Oh, let me see. Biglerville.
Remind me to bring my glasses next time.
Yeah, absolutely. They're on Biglerville, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
There you go. And again, it's...
Gluten-free.
There you
go. Which I think most ciders are.
Yeah, actually they are, but we still have to tell them. Because they're not going to believe it if they're...
Yeah, I forget that because, you know, ciders and me, we just...
Yeah, it's...
We rub the wrong way.
I know.
Like a car against a medium.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know if you put a car against a medium, you make a cardigan.
Ah.
There you go.
So wise.
No, it's just stuff I read on the internet. Okay. Looks like a cider, but it has the color of Chardonnay or Pinot Gris.
Yeah.
The activity coming from the bottom of the cup provided by Delirium. I can see the elephant extra clear. Look straight down in your glass. Can you see the elephant?
Yes, I can.
Is that cool or what?
That is cool. It's interesting that the carbonation is only coming from that area.
Because it's the glass has been tampered with. It's been scratched, so carbonation grips onto anything rough, not smooth. So, you know, you get those bubbles. It's moving very rapidly. It's rather intense. So, are you ready to smell it?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it. Cheers, brother. The smell reminds me of one time back in band camp.
Something about a flute?
Nope. Trombone, buddy.
Oh, boy.
It was Rusty.
I like
the slide. That was guy's name. Mm-hmm. It was a trombone. It was a musical accident. We learned that the skin flute is actually not a wind instrument.
Right. Well, I suppose you could put a little wind to it.
But... Yeah. I mean, you understand where I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I hear you.
The smell is very reminiscent of that. And why does it smell like it? Because when you are in band camp, it actually smells like forest. I actually smell foliage. I smell a little botanical in here. I do smell pear. And I do smell cider, but there's like this funky, like earth tone coming in. So that's why I was bringing up it. It reminded me of a bad time in Catholic school, even though I'm now atheist.
Right. I'm getting mostly pear, apple slightly, but definitely pear, not fresh pear.
You're not getting a fresh pear.
I'm not, which is odd because it's pressed on site. But I'm getting more of a. Like a pear from a fruit cocktail. So a pear and a syrup.
Yeah. Well, maybe press on site is only for the apples. And then the pears add it later. Because pear can either be an extract or a flavoring.
True.
So, with that said, let's get down to the business of tasting. I'm ready.
All right.
I mean, there's really not much else we can talk about. The fragrance is the fragrance. I almost smelled it again because you can't really taste it through your nose. Mm. I actually almost did that. I did a faux pas. You go first while I work out my own issues here.
Sweet on the sweet at the beginning. Slightly peary. I'm not getting an overwhelming taste sensation of pear. It's there, but it's not, you know, it's not slapping you. The apple is definitely more present, and it's sour on the back finish.
Okay. I'm going to kind of have to go the other way on this with you.
You're more welcome.
I think what I'm getting out of this, I'm going to go opposite. It's actually got, like, it doesn't present itself to have sugars present. So it tastes almost, it has a raw texture to it. Like, just they squashed the pear, they squashed the apples. They didn't add anything else. So it's like an applesauce cocktail. You know, like, applesauce is pretty bland. This applesauce is rather bland until you add in some extra ingredients, cinnamon,
right,
and stuff like that. So it has this applesauce texture to it. So it's just bland. Now, the bland that it's putting out is not like a bland, like bitter. It's just not an overpowering sugar kick. It just tastes like apples and pears. If anybody who likes fruits, apples and pears are relatively not that sweet.
Right.
So you just eat them and they're just delicious and they're that refreshing. And normally when you pick up a cider, you have two expectations. It's either going to be sweet or it's going to take like apple juice. You got one or the other.
Yeah.
This does not come across that way. I kind of understand why they're saying pressed on sight. It's got more of a, I picked it, I stepped on it, you drink it.
I'm getting definitely a little bit more of an apple juice
right
texture to it. I mean, I'm thinking it's a little bit chewy, but it's not like, you know, the fresh pressed cider that I'm used to. You know, you go to the farm, they press it right in front of you kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's to me, it's a little more apple juicy.
It's got skin grit to it. If you click your teeth together, it's got like the skin, that
yeah.
peel, skin.
Whole fruit.
Yeah, pulp. It's got that thing going on.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, for me, it's got that earth tone, that it has realism to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, may not even go for this.
Right.
Because it's not campy, it's not commercially. It's like I said, it feels as if they step. Like it says pressed on site, so they're squashing it.
Right.
They're probably filtering it. They have to filter it, and then it goes straight.
It's definitely filtered.
I mean, yeah. So
tell by the look.
And then it goes through the filtration, and then right into the can. So it's like pick, squash, filter, can, and that's the end of it. I think they moved it real fast, and that's why it's going to be odd for a few people. But you can pick out the apples, you can pick out the pear. It has some botanical aspects to it. The mouthfeel is actually pretty cool, and then it leaves you with that tanning grit on your teeth of the skin, apple skin, especially red apple skin with that oily grit filling.
Yeah,
it's rather very interesting.
Yeah.
So all right, Frank, this is your second cider on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Or today, whenever this airs. How you feel about it? What's your grade?
I'll give it a 3. I'm guessing it's about average. It's nothing to, you know, it's a cider. I'm still not crazy about ciders, or I still have not developed my palate for ciders. So, you know, I'm not going to knock anybody over to get to it.
That's right. Do you give your score? Because I don't want to jump
I said 3.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because last time you...
Yep.
You fucking check me. For me, I'm going with a 4.5.
All right.
And the reason being is it's different. It's completely different. I've never seen any labeling that says pressed on site.
Okay.
I've never seen that. And what I'm getting is the earth tones. It again, I'm going to have to use my chef skills. It tastes like the fruits. It tastes like the apples. It tastes like the pears. But it tastes like their seeds and their skin. And it has some realism to it and its robustness to it. I'm really digging this cider, and I'm a huge fan of ciders.
Right.
And this one stands on its own because it has less sugar profile and more fruit profile. Sorry, guys. And that's why I'm giving it such high marks.
Okay.
So other than that, so out of these two, Frank, we're going to ask you at the end, I want you to really think hard out of the two, which one is really moving you towards ciders? So just hang on to that at the end of the show for me.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, what we're going to do now, I'm going to pick the next one. Let's go ahead and let's do the Olympia. I'm dying to say, because that's a classic for both of us.
Sure.
And the cool part about this is, they only rebranded it once. The labeling has changed one time.
Yeah.
But it's still the horseshoe. And we'll get more into the aesthetics of these guys. We'll be right back after this commercial from our
Hey, what's going on, man? I got a party that I'm going to this weekend. I really want to impress some friends.
Before you ask me any questions like favors, like movie furniture and shit.
No.
What type of party is this? Is it a quesadilla?
That's or like a barbecue.
Thank goodness. I thought
we might have quesadillas, but on the barbecue.
Okay, I thought it was gonna be a Mandingo pool party. Last time left me sore. But what is your question, man? If I ain't moving shit.
So my question is, you know, there's some people there that I really want to impress, and I want to bring some, you know, a beer that's really, really kind of cool and rare. Where can I go? What sort of resources do you know of?
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, whenever time I throw a party, I head over to obsbeers.com.
Seriously?
Yeah, man. Every day they've got tons of beer reviews, and then if you wait like a day or two, they've got like 7 more beer reviews. These guys are beast over there on obsbeers.com.
Like Bourbon County?
What year do you want?
Like the brewery?
Yeah. What style are you looking for?
Like Bad Beat here in Vegas?
I think they did 8 of their beers.
Get out.
No, man. They local, worldwide. They did a Westie 12. You can't even buy it here in America.
What is that website again so I can check it out?
obsbeers.com.
Awesome. I'm going there now.
Oh, and I also heard, you know, I might as well tell you because I also follow them on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
I heard they Periscope also.
Every damn day.
God almighty.
And they're even on fucking Pinterest.
Get out.
They're on Pinterest. Who still uses Pinterest?
Teachers.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, they're over there, and then they're on Untappd, man. They're just beastly.
Awesome.
So, again, bro, you're going to impress your friends, and you really want to get your beer game up for this party, even though I'm not helping you move, and I'm actually, you know what, I'm rather disappointed this time. It's not a Mandingo pool party.
Yeah.
OBSBeers.com. Now, wasn't that an interesting commercial?
Very.
From our sponsors at obsbeers.com. I also want to say thank you to chilloverradio.net. So, are we ready to do this? Because I heard it's in the water.
We are, man. This is the original Olympia beer. It's in the water.
It's been around since like the 1900s.
1896, my friend.
I was off.
This is actually brewed by Pabst out of Milwaukee.
Aw, snap.
Which is interesting. Milwaukee used to be like the brewing capital, and they don't do a hell of a lot anymore.
No,
Pabst is still there.
Don't.
And Pabst is still brewing. Everybody loves PBR.
Oh, fun fact about Pabst. Did you know that during the Prohibition law, they were a cheese company?
Not
surprising.
Then
when the Prohibition laws lifted, they sold it to Kraft.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm smart, too.
Yeah.
All right.
What's up,
I can't believe I had this decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
So the question that begs to be answered.
It's obviously a lager.
Yeah. Is it going to be the same?
I would guarantee it's going to be the same.
Because it's in the water.
Well, it's a macro brew.
All right. Well, let's.
Macro brews are the same.
It looks like a lager.
Yeah.
Looks like a lager, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, really golden, thin head. Lacing is good. I mean, that's what do you expect out of a lager. Pretty aggressive carbonation. Again, what you expect from a lager.
I'm going to agree with you.
Well, you should.
Yeah, I can't find anything different. All right, let's get down to the smell, brother.
Yep.
It smells like Olympia.
Yep,
it
smells like a lager.
It smells like every other mass-produced, mainstream lager known to man, except for this one smells as if it was left in a trunk somewhere in the middle of fall.
If anybody out there listening knows of like a really good craft lager, please get in touch with chilloverradio.net. Send us a decent lager. Because I swear, the lagers that we have, they're the same time after time after time. You can't really tell them apart, honestly.
No, there's like certain nuances that may be different, but it's all predicated on popular comments and opinions, and one will say Budweiser's better, some will say Pabst is better,
yeah.
But I bet you if we put them in a blind taste test, they're not going to know who's different. There's no distinction between these, and the smell is just rather, it's a letdown. I mean, but then again, it does smell like what we had when we were kids.
Yeah.
So let's see. Well, you know what though? Let's not count our chickens yet.
True.
Let's go for it. Cheers for the taste. All right. Well, I am now going to become gay now. That hurt my inner child. It's not tasty. It's tastes like flat Budweiser.
You know what? I'll go a little bit different. I think it tastes better than Budweiser. I'm getting more malt, less yeast, because smelling it, the aroma really gave off a yeasty lager.
I'm getting grain.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the malt.
Yeah, but I mean grain, like not barley, but something else. That's what I'm getting.
Well, it's probably made with corn. So all lagers are going to, or at least the mass-produced ones, are going to give you somewhat of a corn taste.
Okay.
Because they always use corn.
I'm not happy with this one. I actually
am happy.
Oh, well, at least somebody is. Isn't
that weird?
No, this is, it's got too much familiarity out of it. There's just too much familiarness of another, other lagers. And again, I'll piggyback what you said moments ago. There's really no distinction primarily. Yes, it is malty, but lagers in general are just not complex enough. They just are meh. And this one, well, we've had different lagers and we were like, wow, this one stands on its own because there was something that gave it its own leg to stand on. This does not. Considering who makes it, I guarantee if we were to pour this and a PBR next to each other, nobody's going to really tell the difference if it was a blind taste test. So that's the disappointing part on my end for this particular item. Frank, go ahead. What you got for him?
I'm going to give it a 4.
You're going to give it a 4?
Yeah. To me, this is above average. It's not meh. Yeah. I like the maltiness to it. It's far less yeasty than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
I think this would be probably if the malt profile can continue to stand up when it's ice cold, I bet this would be fantastic. Good lawnmower beer.
Okay, fair enough. For me, I'm going to rate this. Let me take one more sip. Let me ponder real quick. Hold on. All right.
Ponder.
All right. I'm going to give this a 2.
Wow.
I'm giving it a 2 because there's too much familiarity of other beers. It's not complex and not even overly complex or under. It ain't complex at all. It's just tastes like the filler is rice. It's got malt profile, but the malt is washed out. It's light. It's like you're stiffing me in my pocket. Again, it's leaving this weird finish in my mouth, and it just tastes like hot Budweiser Coors, you know, those mainstream lagers that are out there, that weird mouthy, grainy aftertaste in your mouth. It's just too much familiar here. There's nothing that, again, that separates it to stand on its own. So I give it a 2.
To me, it was sweeter than the typical mass-produced lager. And I think that's why I liked it. And I know that's coming from the malt profile.
Right.
And the corn. And probably the rice.
This one feels like it's been reached around a little too much.
All right, well, you know.
It's chafing.
I agree to disagree, but I actually.
That is apples to oranges.
Like potatoes, tomatoes.
No, stop it. No, this is.
Pineapples, avocados.
You can't compare those two.
Of course I can. I can do what I want.
Well, what are you in
it's my show.
What? Whoa. You better head over to obsbeers.com and find out who's in charge. Guys, we're going to be right back. We're going to get our stomachs pumped. Ladies and gentlemen from around the world, my name is Key.
I'm Frank.
And welcome to the world's first sponsored show by Open Bottle Society. Check them out at obsbeers.com. And we want to thank chilloverradio.net. And we also want to thank Delirium for these kick-ass glasses.
Amen.
All right, so what do we got on the next beer?
We've got a vanilla porter from Breckenridge Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of Breckenridge, Colorado, but they've recently been bought by Anheuser-Busch.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
They were bought out by Anheuser-Busch.
Yep. Oddly, I don't see an ABV. 5.4.
You found it?
I found it.
You found it? Okay.
Yeah, it's an ale brewed with real vanilla beans.
Okay, that's interesting.
Seldom seen, remarkable, never duplicated, partake.
Let's rephrase that. Highly bottable. And about to be replicated.
Yeah.
No, I'm just teasing. Guys,
well, it's the truth. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe AB is doing it as an investment, and they're going to leave them alone.
Right.
Or they're going to do what they did to, like, Rolling Rock and close the brewery and move it all to St. Louis and just use the label. Interesting. But, you know, Breckenridge puts out some pretty solid beers.
That they do. We've had a few of them, didn't we, in our leisure time? Yeah. Okay. Well, it's got a nice ruby red color sitting on this bad boy.
A lot more red than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's extremely ruby-like, almost like fire. It looks like fire a little. Especially when the light hits it, that it's crimson. There we go.
Yeah.
When the light hits it, it shows crimson.
Maybe scarlet instead.
Yeah. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, it's like a blood red vampire's delicacy. So it's red, guys. You guys, we can pretty much tell you any dark blood shade, but it's a really nice deep red. Mm. So crimson, what'd you call it, Sophia?
Sophia.
No, what did you say? Scarlet. Oh, got it. Yeah. You can get your O'Hara on if you want.
Yeah.
All right. So, anything else you want to talk about here on this particular pour?
It's got a pretty good head. It's standing up. Lacing is going pretty well. It's got some decent legs to it. You look on the top of the glass, the head is kind of porous. So, it's not real thick. It's kind of thin. But it laces real well. I'm looking forward to this.
Let's get our smell on, sir. Okay. I'm getting chocolate. Some stank chocolate.
I'm getting coffee, espresso.
I'm on the back end, I'm getting a little coffee, but I can actually smell vanilla bean. And not vanilla. Yeah. I smell
earthy.
Yep, I smell that earth.
Yep.
And it smells thick, don't it?
Yeah, it smells
earthy,
really chewy.
And thick. Man, that's
almost smells boozy. Boozy.
I think all the other fragrances are kind of sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like there's a little fragrance, but no, you can't smell it. You ready to taste this?
Sure.
Let's do it. Creamy.
Mm-hmm.
Light. The mouthfeel all day is just enjoyable. It's very comfortable, smooth. You definitely can taste the booze, but chocolate, first thing. Vanilla bean. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. I'm telling you this now. It's not artificial, like vanilla flavoring or any of that weird stuff that you may use when you cook, but vanilla bean is very predominant in this, and what it's doing for me, it's overpowering the coffee. It really is. It's very predominant vanilla bean porter, guys.
Yeah. I'm getting chocolate at the front, and then it kind of moves into a little coffee and then finishes aggressively vanilla. And it is a little bit on the boozy side. It's not... The alcohol isn't completely unpleasant, but it's almost bordering on it for me.
Right.
You know, and I like high ABV stuff also, but I don't think it's strong enough to carry a higher ABV.
Right.
Because then it becomes boozy and you lose the fact that it's supposed to be real vanilla bean and not vanilla extract, which is basically alcohol. Anyway. Right.
It comes off with this really nice earth tone to it. It has a real nice earth tone. And it almost comes off barrel-aged
yeah.
a little bit. It comes off with that nice wood chipper feel in the mouth. But I'm willing to bet that it's from the vanilla bean meshing with like the yeast, and it's got that. It's like a cocoa chalking.
Yep.
In there, so I like it. It's a wonderful. See, that's a complex beer. Mm-hmm. It's like so much stuff, and we're trying to reach and grab. Very complex. Really interesting beer. What you got for me, Frank?
I'll go 3.75. I don't think it's spectacular, but it's above average. I liked the beginning of it. I liked the end of it. I think the middle of it to me was a little bit too much bitter coffee that's been hanging out for a little bit, plus astringency from the alcohol in it.
Okay.
So that's where I'm sitting with it.
Now let me ask you this question. That this is going to go with this one.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them being either partnered or bought up by Anheuser-Busch?
Well, I mean, the thing with AB is I think that they may have started to realize that craft beer is here to stay, and it's a true movement that's going on. And I think and I could be completely wrong, and this has not been their business plan in the past, I think they're starting to buy some of these breweries as an investment,
right.
Where they're buying a minority stake. They're not buying a majority stake. They're buying a minority stake, and they're not picking it up kit and caboodle from Breckenridge, Colorado, or in the case of Rolling Rock from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, picking it up and lifting it and dropping it back down in St. Louis. So maybe they're changing their ways. I still don't respect them as their business practices, just because in the past, it hasn't been about investing in a movement that's going on. It's been about
taking it away.
We need to crush the little guy.
Which is silly, because if they were smart, you would let the little guy get big and then offer them money to get some of the big guy stuff.
But the thing is, they can't make this.
Right.
They can make Rolling Rock, because Rolling Rock is a lager like Budweiser is a lager.
You don't think they can replicate a vanilla porter?
I don't think so.
Well, not like theirs.
No.
Good to know.
I mean, if they could, you'd already see vanilla porter.
Corner store somewhere.
With the Budweiser on it.
This is true. Good point. For me, I really like this overall. I'm a darker beer person. Like, I'm persuaded towards darker beers. And the reason being is most of the time, darker beers, and I've been proven wrong, but they hold the most robust complexities.
Yep.
Very sharp complexity. People would say, well, IPAs are sharp. Yeah, but it's only one profile. With porters and stouts, it's a different
sharpness.
So. Yeah. This is a roller coaster. We've got some savory, some sweet. It's got some classic principles with some new age twist. And you can't find that. It's like love. And yeah, it's sad if they got bought out by AB, but hopefully as a silent partner or something. Something where they just go, we just own you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Give us a little bit of the money and we'll buy you all your pots and pans.
Right.
So with this, I'm giving this a 4 or 5.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 4 or 5 because it's just the way it feels. This is one of those beers you let warm up. More and more complexity kicks in, and you're just one happy camper.
Okay.
Are you ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah, I'm going to finish this, and then we'll move on.
Fair enough. You know, while we're waiting to clean up, you should just head over to obsbeers.com.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know what? I am having a good time with you today.
I always have a good time with you, Key.
And seeing that the last two episodes were kind of rough, I'm very pleased that we're moving in a more intense direction.
It's good to get back into what you and I would consider more of our element.
This is true. And one of these elements is having fun, doing a couple of back-to-back Dutch rudders, and not giving your buddy a rusty trombone.
Okay. I know what a rusty trombone is, but I don't know what a Dutch rudder is.
Oh, have you ever seen the movie Zach and Murray Make a Porno?
Yeah.
Do you remember when he was helping him move his arm? When he was moving his arm while he was jacking off?
Vaguely.
You move my arm, I move your arm. That's a Dutch rudder. Now, if we can get 3 more people here and we all do that, that's a Dutch armada.
Oh, God.
You see what I'm saying? It's 5 or more. All right, so I digress with that.
Anyways.
Do you guys want to see any Dutch ruddering? Head over to obsbeers.com. I just might as well throw that in there. So, for these guys' listening pleasure, what do we have?
We've got something that is called Beer to Drink Music To. It's a Belgian-style triple from our friends at Dogfish. This is not for the faint of heart. It's a 9% ABV in this little 12-ounce bottle, which is funny because usually when we're drinking the bigger ABV beers, they're in 22-ounce bottles or even 750s.
Those are called, the 22-ounce bottles are called bombers.
Bombers.
Now, before I open this, I'm looking at the label. It's showing a record, but is it me or is that center actually hollowed out?
The center looks like it's hollowed out because it's a
record.
It would be a vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like the little nubbin that...
But is it on there? Or is it? Oh, no, it's on there. Okay. I really thought that the little black dot was...
like popping through.
Yeah, like it was like empty. That was...
No, it's just perspective.
9%. Are you ready for this?
As ready as I'm going to be.
And I do like... I really, really enjoy the style. I really love Belgium yeast. Just something about it. And then it's a tripel. That's another fancy word for triple.
Triple, yes.
Yeah, it's just very interesting.
Yes, I understand. Like a Dubel.
That's double. And a 1L. And a 1L.
Yeah.
Oh, it has the look of beautiful, beautiful hues of amber waves of grain. It's almost orange. It's almost orange.
Coppery.
There you go. It's got a metallic color. Copper. Oh, shoot. I hate to say this, it's an elegant looking beer.
Good word for it.
It's super elegant. A lot of activity. Matter of fact, there's more activity in this glass, not even on the bottom. I'm getting it all over the place. It's not condensed in the one spot. What else you got on it? It's filtered. I got that.
It's definitely filtered. Again, the head is thin, but the lacing is good. It's got some really decent legs, and it should at 9%.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely sticking.
You know what? It almost looks brandy-ish.
That's another good thing, yeah. Or apricot.
Yeah.
It's got an apricot color. Guys, we can go on and on about this sexy tan on this beer, but we're not going to waste your time because we're going in for the smell. Oh, lordy, lordy. Oh. Why can't we get these fragrances as perfumes and colognes? This is heaven, guys. It smells like Belgium yeast. I'm getting prunes. I'm getting raisins. I'm getting some of that nice... It almost smells like a barley wine.
Yeah.
Man, there's figs. It's got some hardcore fruit going on.
Yeah, I'd go figs before before prunes. It's a little yeasty.
It smells great. Are you kidding me? I love Belgian beers. It's just on the grounds of Belgium yeast. Maybe one day when we brew, we'll just put Belgium yeast in everything.
Belgians are interesting because they're not hoppy, which is pretty much against everything that's going on in the U.S. right now. Everybody's a hophead. And I love IPAs, and a lot of people do. Belgians are maltier by profile. Mm-hmm. The flavor is really, and those fruit flavors, you know, even the spices, the clove, and the coriander, and the banana, and the prune or the raisin, it's really coming from the yeast, which is odd.
Yeah, it definitely puts off this great esters and phenols. See, you didn't think I knew that.
No, I knew you. Yeah. You're a chef, dude.
Yeah, it's got some great aromatics. Ooh, another big word, aromatics.
And it's boozy.
Yeah, and yeah, you can definitely smell the 9%. Are you ready to do this? We don't even have any music to play this to, but it doesn't matter.
Here we go. I'll give you music. Ready?
Yeah. All right, I'll take it. Boozy.
Wow.
Creamy.
Wow.
It's got some caramel, like, covered raisins or prune. It's like caramel covered with that Belgium kick.
Yeah.
Super creamy. It has this velvet texture to it. I mean, the flavor profile is impressive, but the way that it feels from the moment it hits your lips to the goes down your throat, I'm kind of speechless. You go ahead. I'm going to see if I can kind of gather up my words here. I mean,
it's deceiving because as soon as that first sip enters your mouth, it's spicy. It's really, really spicy.
Yeah.
But when you let it sit for just a second or two, it just mellows. You know what's funny is you're breathing out like,
well, because as soon as you said those spices, there's only one place it's sitting in my mouth, and that's in the front.
Yeah, I got them in the back
because I'm getting banana.
Yeah,
I'm getting clove. I'm getting nutmeg. I'm getting all sorts of, like, you know, foreign spices that you would find in foreign style beers. But when I consume it on the back end, it's creamy. It's got those figs, prunes, raisiny feel to it. But the part that's mesmerizing me is the middle of my tongue. It just feels refreshed that a good liquid passed through. I'm not really getting anything in the middle of my tongue that would suggest, okay, let's see where the other flavors are. I've got the front where it is for the spice, the back end for the sweetness, and nothing in the middle. And that's kind of, it's impressive, but it's spooky.
I got just a slightly different where I'm getting spice in the front, and then it kind of rolls through to sweet. And then for me, it's finishing up very, very dry. And there is a bitter at the end, which obviously is hops.
You're getting a dry. I'm not. I'm getting a lot of, like, moisture going on. So it's extremely refreshing on my end. Bananas, bananas, bananas. There's banana esters going on in here. And it's like, I don't think anyone's ever bitten into an actual banana pill. But I'm getting that sort of, like, that rubbery feel going on in the mouth, like it's peel.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we can keep going on and on about this beer, but I don't want to keep dragging this out. We can keep talking about it. We can write it love letters. You can get the beer bottle, Tuesday through Tuesday, and I'll get it on any dates on ending with Y. So, Frank, is there anything else you want to add your 2 cents on to these guys? Well, we should get right into it. Whichever one you want to do.
I'm just going to get right into it. To me, this is a 5. This is actually quite possibly one of the best beers I've ever had. It's super, super complex. Just the flavors just keep on building and rolling. And if you have never had this, by all means, I would go out and get this as soon as fucking possible. It truly...
And again, what's the beer called?
It's called Beer to Drink Music To.
By who?
By Dogfish.
Cool. Anything else you want to add on top of that? You gave it a 5, and so I'm like, you're not shortening this speech.
Yeah, you know, 5 is a big number, and it's only a few, I think, are truly deserving of a 5. I've had a lot of Dogfish before, and I've enjoyed it, but not like this. This is truly one of the most tremendous beers that I've ever had. I like Belgian style, but I'm not a real huge fan of it.
Right.
But this will change your mind. This will definitely
change your mind. All right, guys. For me, I'm going with a 5 as well. And the reason being, it's very complex. Dogfish Head for me is a 50-50 shot.
Yep.
But some of their more intense complexities, they know what they're doing. There's like the Jahu, Miles Davis Bitch Brew. Those two alone can stand on their own leg versus any other beer that Dogfish... And those are beers Dogfish Head makes. This one, I get where it's coming from. Beer to Drink Music To. Because you need to take your time.
You know what? I think that with Dogfish, I think what the normal stuff that they do is good. It really is good. You know, the 120 and all that.
Yep.
And it's good beer. But the stuff that they experiment with and the stuff they fuck around with, yeah, something like this.
They got to keep it.
Yeah, like Higher Matt, right?
Someday we'll be having that, yes.
And, absolutely. You know, the stuff that they fool around with, I mean, they're geniuses. They are absolute mad geniuses when it comes to fucking around. They put out a good product that people want, that people buy, and they pay a lot of money for it because it's expensive. To be able to do stuff like experiment and make this awesome, awesome Belgian-style triple.
Absolutely.
It's
very good, you guys. Super complex. It's a build-a-beer, which means the more you drink it, the more things show themselves. Super versatile. Super cold? Absolutely.
Super cold or
room temperature. You could bake with this. You can marinate with this. I do know that the younger generation... This is not for a beginner. Mm-mm. It's absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
Like, if I had another one of these and somebody I know came over, but they're not really into beer, and they're like, yeah, let's crack that open, I could not because they could not appreciate the love and the magic and the behind the scenes that they do to produce these beers. You know what I mean? Like, to do this awesome Belgium-style Trappel, get the hell out of here.
If I was still living in New Jersey,
right,
I would drive to Delaware to get this.
Man.
To sit in their tap room and have this on draft, fresh. Can you imagine that?
I'm already doing it right now.
I gotta change my clothes.
Oh, man. Woo! We're over here having beergasms, guys.
Damn, that's good.
All right, so we're going to get a mop. We're going to change our shorts, and we'll see you in a moment. Gentlemen, I hate to tell you this, but this will be our last stop of the show.
Yeah.
But it does not mean that it has to end. Frank, when this is over, where should they go?
OBSBeers.com.
Ooh.
For sure.
And who should we give special thanks to for today's broadcast?
Well, first we want to give thanks to OBSBeers.com for sponsoring us. We want to give thanks to ChillLoverRadio.net for giving us a forum and a vehicle to kind of produce this out to the masses.
Not Foreskin. Okay.
And we want to thank Delirium for the fantastic glassware.
Absolutely.
I want to thank my wife for letting me go out tonight.
Oh, yeah. We want to thank Molly.
Yeah.
Thanks, not Molly. The drug. Wait, no. See, Molly is a drug for the young people.
No, I know that.
But we're talking about Mollyanna, your wife.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, guys. You guys should check her out on YouTube. It's Molly Pushes Children Down. Look up the video. Molly Pushes Children Down.
No, it's not.
It's under the It Does Not Exist video category. Just to let you guys know, it does not exist.
Right.
chilloverradio.net is going to be like, we got more questions. And I'm going to go, I don't know if that's the real website. So I'm just letting you guys know.
Anyways.
But I like the way you hit me off. So, last stop.
Yep.
What are we doing? It's a big bottle, too.
Samuel Smith's Organic Chocolate Stout. This is one of the oldest breweries in England. It is from Samuel Smith's Brewery in Tadcaster, which is in York. This is a 550 milliliter, 1.2.7 fluid ounce bottle.
Nice.
It is, I saw it a minute ago, it's 5% alcohol.
Easy drinking.
Which is, actually, that's not bad for a stout.
Yeah, stouts are primarily, guys, within the range of, and honestly, it goes anywhere between 4.5 and 6% on all stouts. So people are like, nah, the stouts I had were like 10%. That's because those are different. Those are more complex. This is more of a traditional style, and that's just how they do it there. And it's organic certified. Samuel Smith, guys, is legally and professionally organic certified.
Let me get you there.
Oh, I was going to. Okay, thank you. You are still kind to me. A little easy on the eyes, too.
Look.
I can definitely tell you guys the aesthetics of what I'm looking at. It looks like straight coffee black, but the head is coming in very mocha. It comes in very mocha, and I'm telling you, I can smell it from here. I can smell it literally from here. What do you have on that?
Super, super dark. Like an espresso almost. So it's got that dark kind of coffee under, and then the it's not a white foam. You're right. It's you would think about it as a mocha. It's more like a beige.
Yeah, a little, not eggshell, but you're right.
Right. So, to me, it looks like it's a glass of espresso.
Yeah. Cappuccino?
Well, cappuccino's got the milk in it, so it's a
little... No, the head. Well, I'm talking about the head.
Yeah, yeah. The head might be cappuccino-ish.
So, yeah, absolutely. You ready?
Yeah.
You're going to be blown away by the smell, I promise
sure.
you. Sure. Cheers to the smell.
Holy shit.
I told you.
Oh, man.
I'm going to let you listen. I'm going to sit back and let Frank describe his nuances of what his nostrils are doing to his bate.
You get hammered with chocolate. Not milk chocolate, not bordering on dark chocolate, but semi-sweet for sure. Heading towards bitter a little bit. It's like more like a baker's chocolate.
Yes.
Something that you would spend a lot of money on.
Oh, yeah. Was it like Golga Deli?
Yeah, super fine, like expensive chocolate.
For me, guys, very little coffee.
No.
But it's chocolate. Whether you're going to get semi-sweet, baker's chocolate, bittersweet chocolate, diabetic-free chocolate. It's chocolate all day, guys. But if you take a whiff, it almost smells waxy. There's like a little wax covering over it. Not saying that there's wax in it, guys. I'm just saying if you smell it, it smells like a little waxy.
Okay.
Like it's preserved. Or it smells like wrapped cookies and you're smelling it through like the cooking sheets.
Yeah.
That's what it smells like. And it also smells rich and creamy. The texture smells rich and creamy. It almost smells like a boozy chocolate milk.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this, brother. I know you've been dying to do it. Here we go. Yeah, buddy. 3, 2, 1, Frank.
It's good. It's the chocolate is definitely it's smoothed out. It's more creamy. To me, it tastes more like a milk chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe they add lactose to it. Who knows?
There might be a touch of lactose in here.
Because that's what it reminds me more of a milk stout.
Because it's got a creamy, milky consistency.
Yeah, almost milkshakey.
Yeah. It's not as sweet as you would think it is, but it's like bittersweet.
The aroma is so aggressively chocolate. I mean, it's like chocolate.
Where's my money?
But this, it's nice. It's like hot chocolate.
Yes.
It reminds me of hot chocolate.
Nice.
Like a good hot chocolate, not, you know, instant Swiss Miss with the mini marshmallows.
Have you ever had chocolate milk with like cayenne pepper in it, like a dash?
A little, yeah.
And it kind of changes that consistency. Sure. It's really good. Could you imagine if we put this through a French press with some peppers?
Mm.
I think it would be impressive, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah. This is super versatile beer, guys. You can bake with this because I guarantee you can put this in your cake mix. You can cook with this. See, bacon and cooking, two different things.
Yeah.
You can babysit with this because this is one of the beers. Okay, guys, a little history on this beer is this is a beer. One of the, hey, out of all craft beers, there are a few that command you to sit your ass down. And they command you to take your time. And they command you, don't you share me. So what I'm saying is that this chocolate stout is by far very impressive what it is, what it is. And that means it says what it is, and you're getting these multiple nuances of chocolate. It is overpowered the coffee, period. I mean, it's there.
There's no coffee. To me, there's none.
I mean, we know it's there.
Oh, stout always has it.
But this is milk, chocolate milk, chocolate chip cookies, just a little, the chips. Hershey's should have been made. Like, should have been a sponsor.
When I've tried to brew chocolate milk stout before, this is what I was going for.
Well, hopefully.
That flavor, that creaminess.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question. Would this be considered for a beginner, in your opinion?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure.
For me, it would be a no. I think it's so complex with the chocolate, it would ward off people who aren't in the sweet beers.
You know what? I think as stouts in general, where you need to begin is Guinness.
Yeah, Guinness is a great jumpstart into stouts.
You need to start at Guinness.
Or take the sand out of your vagina and just pick up a fucking beer and go for it. It's gonna, like, I remember talking about this a while back. There is a three-step process that you guys do with beers from this point forward.
Sorry.
From this point forward is a three-step process, and you'll like this. I came up with this on Periscope. You guys check us out on Periscope. We film every day on Periscope daily, except for Wednesdays we're dark. It's called putting your foot in the water.
Okay.
So the first thing you're going to do is we got to test the waters, right? Yeah. So the first set, we boom, and it's going to shock your palate. Mm-hmm. So you put your toe in the water. Okay, that's the first part. Okay, your toe gets used to it. Now you got to put your foot in there, you know, halfway on the foot. It's still cold, but you're getting used to it.
Right.
And by the time that transaction happens, you're going to put your cankle in the water. Now you're fucking in the water. So you basically dip the toe, you put the foot in, now you're at your cankles, and you're ready to go. So right. Guys, if you guys ever get a beer and it's rough, do it two more times.
Yeah.
That way you jump start your palate, then you get past of whatever it is that you thought it was.
Yeah.
Because you've been basically influenced by the last person said, oh, I don't like stouts. And so now you're going to miss out on a chocolate stout or organic, which means they are using 100% actual, you know, grade A chocolate. Because if you're going to walk around with a organic label, you need to make sure you have the purest and the finest.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get that license. So, Frank, I noticed you had to get more.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this motherfucking beer that is all day in your mouth, forwards, backwards, chocolate? Guys, you're going to pick out so many different chocolates. It's white chocolate, whatever chocolate you want. Matter of fact, there's some earth tones, cocoa bean.
Mm.
It's got so much going on, guys. And that's why I'm trying to figure out what he's thinking. So, quit pushing me to ask him more questions.
And I'm really thinking about it hard. I'm going to go.
Uh-oh. That's tough.
Yeah. I'm going to go 475. It's probably the best stout I've ever had.
Ah. And you guys can get this worldwide. Let's not forget.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get this pretty much anywhere. And it's tremendous. It really is. It was close to meriting a 5 for me, but I have a feeling there's probably something that's a little bit better out there.
True.
But honestly, it's... If you dig stout, this is a must get. It's a tremendous, tremendous stout. The chocolate is unbelievable. And we're so used to more of a coffee taste to it. I mean, this has got, it's got chocolate, it's got toffee, it's got caramel.
We almost got like decapitated by Jack Sparrow's fucking ship here. Yeah, it's so good.
This was good. It was tough not to give it a 5.
Mm. For me, guys, I don't care if you don't like chocolate. This beer is that impressive for you to go out and try this chocolate stout. It overpowers the coffee. There's a little bit of bitterness in the back. They've been around for like 500 billion years. They were around long before the dinosaurs. And it's affordable. And it's sold worldwide. And they're recognized by everyone with mad respect. And they're organic. With all that said, even with I'm telling you guys, this chocolate profile is ridiculous. Yeah. It's sitting on your tongue. It's sitting in the middle of the tongue, the front of your mouth, the back of the throat. The hang time is probably more than 40 seconds because it's just sitting in your mouth. It's fluffy. It's creamy. It's got a great mouthfeel to it. It's a very impressive beer.
Fluffy is a good word for it.
Yeah. If you didn't know, you could almost mistake it for nitrous oxide has been pushed in it.
Yeah.
But we don't know. So with that said, I'm going with a 5. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit it with a 5 because it's just awesome and it's super verse. So I think it's about time for us to get these guys out of here.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and clean this up. Four guys, we're going to come right back. Man, I can't believe it's already over.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
We're at the end, man. An hour goes by fast or in some change or under some change. I don't know.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely. So before we do this, our closing part of the show,
yeah.
I want to hands down say thank you. Let's start off with the Delirium. Thank you guys for the glassware.
Yeah.
The glassware is impressive. I'm glad we get to keep it. And hopefully down the line, we can probably raffle these off and get a lucky listener to have their own Delirium glassware that was used on the show. And the best part is I'm not washing them. They can have them with our saliva, hairs, and everything. So they get a little bit of the stars,
right,
and a little bit of whatever the residue was, and they get the glassware. That's a triple threat all day.
Yep.
I want to thank chillloverradio.net for, to be honest, having us.
Yeah.
They didn't have to put us here.
Nope.
They did not have to do this. But they did it every day. Those guys get our audios, and they're fucking, yeah, and then they're laughing way too much, but it's well worth it.
As long as we keep them entertained.
This is true. I was once told that they spit out their liquids.
Ah.
And, of course, we want to thank our main sponsor. That's obsbeers.com, which is otherwise known as the Open Bottle Society. I really want to thank you guys so much for providing all the beer. They're the ones who are providing the beer. So thank you again, obsbeers.com. So, Frank,
yep,
you know the routine. I'm going to ask you 3 questions,
yep,
okay? Random questions. Out of all 6 of these beers today, which one are you going to pick up on a regular if you could?
On a regular if I could.
Yep, on a regular if you could.
Beer to drink music by.
Okay, fair enough.
Or 2, pardon me. Beer to drink music too.
By the Dogfish.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a really good one. Now, the next one.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick all these beers, which one of these would you give to a beginner in the beer game? To a novice?
A true beginner, like I've had Budweiser.
Yeah, somebody that doesn't know, out of these 6, which one would you say this is a great foot in the door?
I would probably go with the Breckenridge Vanilla Porter.
Okay.
I think the Olympia is a little too similar to what they've probably had already.
Right.
So I think if they want to take a step in a different direction, then Vanilla Porter is the way I would go.
Okay. And the third one, which one had the most versatile way it behaved? Like, and well, I don't know if I made it sound good, but which one is the most versatile beer, such as cold, room temperature, cooking-wise, or any other thing you can think of to do with the liquid?
Probably the Samuel Smith's Organic Stout. I could see baking with it. I could see marinating with it. I could see even maybe a little salad.
Could you make it rain on bitches with that chocolate stout? Like shake the shit out of it?
Oh, yeah, you could.
And
yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't want to waste it.
This is true. All right.
I could make it rain on bitches with Olympia.
Bitches, it's raining on you from Olympia. It's in the water, how? I'm buying a new album. It's coming out. Guys, just to let you know that me and Frank are actually 100% Jewish rappers, but because we got shunned in our community by the Amish, we actually release our Hanukkah album on December 25th. Just to let you know, while wearing dashikis and celebrating Kwanzaa, that is not a real thing. Do not look it up. So do you have any questions for me, sir?
Yeah. Which one?
All of them. No, I'm just kidding.
Which one would you not share with an out-of-town guest?
Ooh, which one would I not share with an out-of-town guest? My chocolate organic stout.
Well, because it's kind of a loaded question. It can either be it's too good to share.
Absolutely.
Or you don't want to be embarrassed by it.
I'm not sharing it. I don't care what the outcome is. It's really good. Like, it's hard. It's kind of like you're hanging out, and I hate to use this metaphor, it's kind of hanging out with a really gorgeous lady who's filling you, mm-hmm, but she ain't giving you no signal. Do you chloroform her, or do you just ask for the panties? And either way, this may not turn out good. So I'm not sharing my organic chocolate stout with anybody.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's just that good. I'm just being honest. That's just me.
Out of the ciders,
okay,
which is the one that you want to try again?
Oh, hands down, it has to be the Jack's.
Okay.
The Jack's Perry Cider, because it left me thinking, okay, there's some herbage going on here, some rawness. It's rather impressive, and I like it because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have anything familiar that I could compare it to any other ciders. Now, here's the crazy part. It did not have any properties of wine. We've done ciders that come off like Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, Champagne.
Right.
This did not. It still was a cider. It was just thinking outside the box. And that's what I think is impressive, and I would do it again.
Okay. Last question is, which one would you drive 3 hours for?
Ooh.
You hop in your car, you drive for 3 hours, you can only get one of them. Which one is it?
Beer to dance to, music to? My Dogfish Head.
Beer to drink music to?
What'd I say?
Dance to.
It's got music in there.
I'll dance to it.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal beer. Dogfish Head, you guys are great. All right, again, guys, I want to thank chilloverradio.net. I want to thank Bottle Squads, because you guys, little do you guys know, listening to this podcast, every once in a while, we are actually broadcasting on Periscope, and the Bottle Squad, which is a Periscope exclusive group, is watching us while we're doing our thing here on the Open Bottle Talk. So I want to give a big, huge shout out to the Bottle Squad. You guys definitely head over there to the podcast. I want to thank, did I already thank chilloverradio.net?
Thank him again.
Okay, I want to thank Mr. Chill. I want to thank the staff. You guys rock. I swear to you guys, as soon as me and Frank see you, blowjobs all around by the both of us. We're just going to get it over with.
Well, no, Key will do
it. No, it's a group effort, buddy. It's not gay. It's appreciative.
It's all good. You'll
no,
do it.
No, no one said we had to swallow.
You appreciate them.
No, more. I'm, fuck it. Then I guess you're going to have to toss the salad then. You get the back, I get the front. It's good. Thank you guys over there at chilloverradio.net. And again, thank you, Delirium, for the glasses. Open Bottle Society, check them out over at obsbeers.com. And there's always a phrase they say. Beer is what we have in common, because to be honest, it actually is.
What's your beer story?
Check you guys next week.
See you.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.